What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Tim Miller from The Bulwark here. I was on Deadline White House with Nicole, of course, and Mark Elias, who's out there doing the Lord's work, and Miles Taylor. And, we had a little back and forth about what to read from Orban's loss in Hungary. And for once, I got to be the more optimistic person, talking about how maybe the winds are at the back of liberal democracy in this moment. We need to be vigilant. We need to work hard. We need to continue to push Trump's approval down, down, down. But there are positive signs out there. There are positive things we can take from Hungary. And so you can see a little bit of that case and that exchange. But since I've been off the show, two other things have popped up there that kind of echo what we were talking about. The first is J.D. Vance's Turning Point USA event at the University of Georgia. That was happening this evening, Tuesday evening. He was set to be in discussion with Erica Kirk, Behave commenters. But Erica Kirk chose not to attend out of security concerns, said that she had received some threats. And so Andrew Colvett ended up interviewing JD, and then he took some questions from the students there at Georgia. But the interesting part of this conversation wasn't really the answers or the questions. It was the attendance. The JD Vance went to a purplish red state, but in the South, an SEC school, to do a Turning Point USA event with Erica Kirk, and it's three quarters empty. It was desolate in there. You could hear a pin drop. Literally, he could hear people heckling him. Now let's just take a look here. Let's pull this up. Wow. I mean, more people showed up for the UGA versus Furman volleyball match than this. Inside their arena there on campus. That is depressing. That is a no-show. You get to that event, you look around, and you say to one of your friends, like, we should get out of here. This is going to be awkward. That's not nothing, you know? Crowd sizes isn't everything. Certainly the fact that Donald Trump was able to attract huge crowds meant more than some of the experts thought back in 2016 and going forward. It demonstrates, if nothing else, an excited base of supporters who are excited to see you and enthusiastic about your message or campaign or their membership in your cult. And if J.D. Vance can't even get a college basketball arena in the South to be half full, that, I think, tells you a lot about where the base is right now. And, you know, the polls have not gone down as much as we would like, but the juice is gone right now for the Trump Vance administration. Their biggest supporters are either unhappy about Trump comparing himself to Jesus or covering up the Epstein files, or most likely getting into a stupid war of choice in the Middle East that is causing costs to go up for them. Trump and Vance have betrayed them, and people aren't showing up. There's maybe other parts related to the TPUSA and Candace Owens' attacks on them and the infighting. It's just not as fun anymore. You know, it's not the place to go to a little, get in the lobby and meet a young man or a young lady and do a little, you know what? It's dead. The vibes are bad. The vibe shift against these guys, even within their own base, is real. And boy, if I was J.D. Vance, after failing in Islamabad and failing in Budapest, and feeling like you could come home to at least your home team here and go hang out with TPUSA at an SEC school and have nobody show up. Have people being like, yeah, you know, the vice president's here, but I got to wash my hair and there's a new Secret Life of Mormons on and I don't know. Is UGA baseball team playing? I want to watch that instead. It's not a great sign. The other story I wanted to mention was one of the other panelists that came on later in the show, I should have mentioned earlier, Myra Gay, brought up that one thing that concerns her, which is legit, totally legit, is that Trump isn't acting like somebody who cares about his political standing, which maybe means he doesn't plan on conducting elections. I'm putting words in her mouth, but like that would be the worry, that Trump's total just self-destruction on the politics of this just might be a sign that he's out of electoral politics business. Now, it could also mean that he's not up for election anymore and he has other things in his mind, legacy, going to heaven, LOL, etc. But there is another data point that supports what Mara's talking about here, and that is this. The Justice Department has moved to toss the seditious conspiracy convictions of the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. This goes beyond the commutations that Donald Trump did of all 1,500 January 6th insurrectionists, including the violent ones. Now this is going to erase convictions even for people that didn't receive pardons, such as Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes. So again, and this is the type of thing you would do if you're not worried about being popular and you want to make sure you have your muscle out there. I offer on the show a less alarming analysis of the same kind of assessment of Trump's behavior, so stick around for that. Subscribe to the feed. We're trying to get up to 2 million subscribers. We're getting closer. So come on, do it. Subscribe, tell your friends, and stick around for me on Deadline White House.
The corruption that reaches into CPAC, Tim Miller, from the Hungarian government is a stunning new reveal.
It is stunning. And I just want to say at the start, I love being on with Mark for two reasons. Number one, because he's doing the work and because I get to be the optimist for once, because I am feeling good vibes today. And it's only when Mark is on that I get to be the optimist on the panel. So I'm going to do it. The vibes are really good, in part because of, you know, it's just an unbelievably impressive victory by Peter Mayer, what he overcame. And a lot of stuff that we are talking about here in America that Trump is doing, like Orban had already done it. The new prime minister had never done an interview in national media because Orban had taken over the media completely. So, and obviously we've been warning and talking about what's happening with the Paramount merger and TikTok and maybe CNN next and et cetera. But like, it happened already in Hungary. He had to go to towns to campaign. He had to rely on independent media. And you know, which there are a lot of brave independent journalists in Hungary that were still working, and the internet, luckily, you know, they hadn't gone all the way to North Korea, but like, Orban had taken over the media. Orban had tried to rig the elections. In fact, the manner in which he tried to rig the elections backfired so spectacularly that Major now has even more members in the parliament than he would have under the old system. Because it's essentially a pretty decent parallel to what Trump tried to do with gerrymandering, making the midterms, and how that had backfired on him, thanks to Gavin Newsom and others, and hopefully the voters come November. So he overcame all of this, which is a massive victory, and I think that the vibes are shifting, and everybody who's in the pro-liberal democracy movement should feel like they have the wind at our sails a little bit because of it. And then I love that comment that he gave, that speech he gave. He gets in there, and we have a lot of conversations about this. Like, what happens in the future? Let's say we defeat Trumpism, then what? And you know, I think one of the criticisms looking back in the Biden administration is there's a lot of effort to just, hey, move forward, let's unite the country. I understood that impulse, but, you know, the accountability part of it came later. There he was on day one in the press conference saying, well, no, we need to investigate them. This is corrupt, what they were doing. Yeah. And we need to go after them now. And so I think that's really encouraging. And that's a model for what this could look like. And then, as you mentioned, the fact that the CPAC thing is so comically corrupt and just crazy. I mean, this idea that Orban was running on this family values nationalist camp, you know, platform, and he's funding an American political conference, one run by a guy with some credible accusations of sexual assault against him outside of his family. And like, that guy is coming to Hungary and getting a payoff from the Hungarian taxpayer in the name of nationalism and traditional values. And it's comical. And I'm hoping that another benefit of all this is who the heck knows who else they were paying, and that some of the funds for some of the MAGA groups like CPAC that were coming from foreign governments might start to dry up now. So good news across the board.
BorgTix is sponsored by Delete Me. Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everyone vulnerable. This is something people with public profiles should think about, including me. But everyone should be safeguarding their personal information because it's kind of weird for people to just be able to Google your address. Very weird. It's easier than ever to find personal information about people online, and having your address, phone number, and family members' names just hanging out there on the internet can have actual consequences in the real world, and it can make everyone vulnerable. More and more online partisans and nefarious actors will find this data and use it to target their political rivals, civil servants, and even outspoken citizens just posting their opinions online. We are in weird, scary times. With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. New York Times Wirecutter has named Delete Me their top pick for data removal services. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount to our listeners, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/takes. Use the promo code TAKES at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is go to joindeleteme.com/takes. And enter code TAKES at the checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/takes, code TAKES.
So if you were in charge of NATO, if you were, say, Joe Biden, what would your next move be in the war in Ukraine? What would you do?
Peace, immediately. Call back Trump. That's the only way out.
Call back Trump.
Call back Trump. Because, you know, you can criticize him for many reasons. I understand all the discussion, but, you know, the best foreign policy of the recent several decades belonged to him. He did not initiate any new war.
Except for when he did. Tim, when you get your bestie basically providing the clip that proves that you are a liar to your own base, and you've got Europe's far-right leaders saying, quote, the MAGAs should really stop campaigning internationally because everyone and everything they support loses the elections. That's the far-right that's the new Flemish Alliance Party leader saying that that's the impact of Donald Trump and his movement in Europe. I think there is a toxicity to Donald Trump personally and J.D. Vance personally that makes it hard to land Air Force One and Air Force Two over the next 5 months. I mean, I understand all the structural things. And I think for Mark and Miles, who sort of stared at the, you know, at the circuitry of both our elections and our Homeland Security and national security protections, I don't know that they'll get a good night's sleep until MAGA is sort of purged from governance and politics at every level. But I think in terms of the things that move, record numbers of voters that swing an off-year election 24 points in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district. These are political phenomenons, and we don't have the right words for them. They're not waves. They're not swings. They're not, you know, targets. They are movements against this thing that sort of swept in and took everyone by surprise. How do Democrats and how does the pro-democracy side capitalize on that?
Yeah. Yeah, look, there's a rejection of him that is coming from a lot of different quarters within his own coalition. And that's good. And I totally agree with you, by the way. I'm not throwing any parties at my house right now to celebrate the end of MAGA. I mean, there's just a ton of work ahead. He's going to do a lot of damage ahead. And it's critical, as we saw in 2020, not just to defeat him and his movement, but to grind it into dust, to overwhelmingly defeat it, to bring as many people as possible in so that it cannot reemerge from the ether again, right? And I think that is then the strategic question now. How do you do that, right? Like, how do you get as many people on board as possible? And he's he's helping with that. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to take advantage of it. And you mentioned the war. You played the clip there from Orban. I'm of the view, you know, none of us have a crystal ball, so we'll see what happens. But I think people who have already, I know that the majority of Americans are against the war and have already turned against it. But I think that even that group of people is underestimating, like, the amount of damage that's going to come at home as a result of it. I mean, like, every day this blockade goes on, there are new issues that are going to arise with the supply chain, with the delivery of energy, both abroad and at home. And I saw just a little news item today about how, once again, now beef prices are up, and they're going to be at a record high. When people are trying to spend their summers going on road trips, having a barbecue with their friends, and every single thing is more expensive, and the answer is, well, we had to do this war of choice in Iran, and regular people are going to be like, why? MAGA voters are going to feel betrayed. People that voted for him because they're unhappy about the economy are going to be confused and angry about the fact that he made this decision that went against the reason that they voted for him. We're already seeing young people get off the boat. We're already seeing a lot of Hispanic voters get off the train. And it's going to get a lot worse. There's going to be a lot of pain, unfortunately, ahead of us. And so I think that it's important to take the opportunity to speak to all those people. And to say, and for the Democrats and for others in the pro-democracy movement to say clearly that we hear their concerns, we understand them. When we get back in power, we're not going to make these stupid mistakes. Like, we're not going to be corrupt. We're not going to betray them. We're going to listen to their concerns. What their concerns are about, you know, their personal financial interests, not what is happening in the Strait of Hormuz. And so, you know, I think that this is a huge opportunity to do that and gain credibility with those voters. And it doesn't mean that, you know, the political winds couldn't shift back, or anything. You know, nothing is guaranteed in life. But, like, the opportunity is here. And what we saw in Hungary is a bit of a model for how to do it.
I have the number here. Cases of mail voting fraud are very, very rare, accounting for only 0.00043% of total mail ballots cast, about 4 cases out of every 10 million mail votes. This has never been about fraud. No one on Earth 1 thinks it is, but the lie persists over on Earth 2.
It does. And I think the mail-in voting attack is the thing that I think is the most alarming to me, particularly thinking about kind of the post-election period, when if there are elections that come to recounts, like throwing out the mail-in ballots, they're going to do a full direct assault on it. Similarly to what we were talking about earlier, there have been some examples of their attack on mail-in voting backfiring on them because their own voters don't trust the mail anymore, and there are a lot of older MAGA voters who had relied on the mail previously. So, I do think that this is important to be vigilant about. One additional thing, something that Mara said about, Trump not acting like somebody that cares about the midterms. I think that that's true. I think that there's an ominous way to look at that, which is that he's planning to rig the midterms. And then I think that there's another slightly less ominous way to look at that, which is that Donald Trump doesn't care about anybody besides himself, and that he wasn't really planning on doing any legislation in 27 and 28. And it doesn't matter one way or another to him, whether or not Sherrod Brown or John Husted is the senator from Ohio. Right. And so it could be, I just want to offer that as a potentially slightly more optimistic look at the same analysis.
Tim, I thought this was the case before the war started. It sort of manifested in the way he talks about how hot people tell him the country is. Like, the only people saying that to him are the people he sees in the buffet line at Mar-a-Lago. Like, those are the only people saying that. And I think this idea of sort of political isolation is where he feels comfortable trotting out his ugly plans for the new ballroom. But it gets me back to people that should be responsive to customers and, people making decisions. I mean, the boycott movements, every time you open the paper, there is a new boycott movement. People are starting to feel this, and I sort of align with your rosier sense of it. They are starting to rediscover their agency.
Yeah, they are. I think the two things are, like, Trump definitely... Trump's always deeply cared about elite opinion and recognition. You know, that was one of the many great frauds of Trump, pretending like he cared about regular people. He always, you know, wanted more credit from the elites, even going back to before his time running for office. And I think maybe that's exacerbated now. I don't know if that's, you know, because... You know, death comes for all of us, and you know, as you get older, you want that recognition even more, or whether it's related to him not having normal people around him anymore. It could be a bunch of things, but like that, I think it's increasingly true now. And yeah, it's right. He wants the approval of the rich donors and businessmen around him. He wants the approval of the other heads of state. You know, he's got Bibi and MBS in his ear telling him that he can save the whole Middle East. He'll go down in history. You know, people raise statues to him. And I think that obviously he cares about that more than he cares about the guy at the gas pump, complaining about the gas pump. And that's a massive political mistake for him and his movement. It was one of the things we didn't mention about Orban earlier, is that the economy in Hungary was awful, which is why it's kind of crazy to have Hungary as a model to begin with. And it's only going to get worse. Like, all this stuff is only going to expand. You think gas prices are high now? Wait till August.
Right. Margaret, thank you so much. It's so nice to see you today. Tim and Mark, thank you for spending the hour with me. We're going to sneak in one more break. We'll be right back.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.